Then chapter 16, we'll run through it fairly quickly. It's quite interesting. Thank you. Miraculously. Thanks for the warning. Chapter 16, there were scholars, there may still be, but you just can't read everybody. But about 20 years ago, there were scholars who thought this chapter 16 couldn't belong to the letter to the Romans, and they argued it must be coming from another letter, and this and that, and this and that, and there's PhD thesis written on it, and it's gone, and by the time it's all gone, it's kind of died. There's no reason for thinking this isn't the end of the Romans. In fact, it's the perfect place to find it. And Paul is mentioning so many people, they thought, oh, it couldn't belong to Rome, because he'd never been to Rome. Where's the logic in that? I think the logic, once you see it, is exactly the other way around. It's because he hasn't been there that he's making a point of mentioning all the ones in the community that he knows. Whereas if he'd been there, he wouldn't need to do that, because they all knew. So he's mentioning people that he was there with and knew this and knows, and to help his letter become, I used to know Paul, and to help validate his thoughts, and people could talk about it and so on. At any rate, as far as I know, it's a common opinion, if not universal now, that this is part of the letter to the Romans, where it belongs anyhow. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church of Cenchreae. Cenchreae is the port of, he's in Corinth, and Corinth is on that little, I didn't bring a map, of the little isthmus, you know, probably, and on this side is the Gulf of Corinth, crossing the Adriatic to Rome, and there's a port there, and then there's the little isthmus, and this is on the Saronic Gulf, which opens into the Aegean and across to Turkey, to Asia Minor. So he's talking about the eastern port of Corinth. And that's where she comes from, that little port. And she's called here a deacon. The same word in Greek, it has no feminine form. So deacon, male or female. And there'll be arguments about this. Was she actually what we call a deacon? Well, what we call a deacon has been developed over 2,000 years. So she's a deacon in the sense that she's got a special ministry with the community, acknowledged it's been authorised and graced by the risen Christ. So we won't go into the historical argument now, but that's what he calls a deacon. And then we've got to work out at what level that is. So that you may welcome her, she's probably taking the letter. That's why he mentions her first. She's going to Rome, she's a businesswoman. It tells about here. You may welcome her into the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever way she may require of you. For she's been a benefactor of many, and to myself as well. So she's a rich woman, clearly, with connections, and she's off to Rome to buy and sell and make a bit of dough or whatever. So Paul's taking the occasion to write a letter to give to her, to take, presumably. He doesn't actually say that, but that's highly likely. And she's been a benefactor there, supporting the community and supporting Paul as well. That's the first one he mentions. Then he goes on now to mention 24 people in the Roman community that he knows, or that he must have met, or something, acquaintances. Let's go through them. Firstly, greet Prisca and Aquila. They're the two he met when he first came to Corinth in 50, and now we're in 57. So six and a half, seven years earlier. He met them. They were tent makers like Paul, and he worked with them, and they were already Christians. They'd been sent out of Rome by Claudius because of one of the synagogues there. There was a bit of a fight and so on, all that story. Then he took them with him to Ephesus, and they were the ones that helped Apollos when he came over and helped him learn more about Christianity, and then they sent him off to Antioch. There's a lot of history in this. Now they're back in Rome because the emperor that shooed them out, well, I've got it here, in Claudius died in 54, so the edict of Claudius failed in 54. Nero became the emperor, so that meant they could go back. So probably they did go back. That's where they were interested in being. That was their home. So greet Prisca and Aquila, who work with me in Christ Jesus, and who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their house. Don't have to remind you, they didn't have churches, public buildings. Christianity was not a religion that had legal position in the Roman world, and so they met in homes, in small groups. And Aquila and Priscilla would gather the people and have the Eucharist there with them in their homes, where the Eucharist was lived. in the beginnings of the organization of the church. Then he greets a few other people. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. So when Paul went to Ephesus, perhaps, he was the first one. So here he is. Every community's got these kind of people. Every parish has them. You can almost see them. You can almost recognize them when you walk into a parish. You see somebody, they remind you of someone in another parish who's in another. These are the stalwarts that have always been there, and they're loving and they're caring and they look after the priest.
The pillars of the church.
That's the word, the pillars of the church. And they're beautiful people. Well, this bloke is obviously terrific, and he's in Rome at the moment. Greet Mary, who's worked very hard among you. We don't know who Mary was. Mary could be a Jewish name, Miriam, or it might be Maria, it may be a Latin name. But so we're not sure whether she's Jewish or not Jewish, but anyway, she's there too. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives. Ah, what does that mean? Relatives could mean relatives, you know, like we do, but it could mean fellow Jews. So he's particularly accenting in the flesh. Those who belong to my Jewish group could be that. And Junia and Andronicus may be husband and wife. They were in prison with me. Now, does with me mean they were actually together in prison? Could be, but possibly unlikely. It could mean they, like me, with me, were in prison. They have people who've suffered for their faith and been imprisoned wherever we know. I don't know where it happened. They are prominent among the apostles, as they were in Christ before I was. Okay, so they were Christians before Paul, which takes them right back to Jerusalem. Paul was probably converted in 34 AD, and Jesus died probably in 33 AD. So you haven't got a big, maybe 30, but probably 33. So Paul may have been very... So these may have been converts from Jerusalem, from the very first Pentecost, you know, or somewhere. He's told us that. Now, does prominent among the apostles is ambiguous. It could mean that the apostles used to always say, look, go down to Andronicus and Junia's place. They've always got a cup of tea for you. If you want a break, that's the place to go to. She makes scones like you've never seen them before. And he has a lovely cellar. Good wine. So that's the place to visit for the curate when he comes into the parish. So it may mean the apostles all knew these and knew them well and thought they were terrific. Or it could mean they are prominent as apostles. So Paul is using the word apostle for them. Highly likely. Apostle doesn't mean the 12 apostles all the time. Paul saw himself as an apostle. Barnabas as an apostle. So these were apostles. The word it just means missionaries sent out from Jerusalem, presumably. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. This is interesting. Aristobulus was one, it's a common name, in the Herod family back in Palestine. And there was an Aristobulus who was the brother of Herod Agrippa the First. That's the King Herod Agrippa, the first. And this Aristobulus went, we know from other places, went to Rome, and he was a confidant of the Emperor Claudius. So he may be referring to a very famous Herod family, who were often in Rome, person. And when he says, it doesn't mean he was a Christian, but he means those in the family. So perhaps his slaves in the domestic situation. He may be referring to perhaps the most famous Aristobulus in Rome, who was a pagan, possibly a Christian, but not necessarily. Greet my relative Herodian. So Herodian, the name sounds like he was a slave of Herod, but has now become free. And he's taken his name, which they often did, from their master. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Now, that doesn't tell us much, but it's worth knowing that Claudius' secretary, that's the Emperor Claudius who died in 54, his secretary was Narcissus. Is he once again referring to quite a famous, rich, upper-class Roman whose family, in other words, whose slaves, basically, and some of them freed, were Jews who brought Christianity over
long time before, and who were the ones responsible for Christianity in Rome. We're nearly finished. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who's worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also. Oh, that's nice, a dear old duck. She looked after Paul. And greet Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermas and Patrobas and Hermas and the brothers and sisters who are with them. What's beautiful about this chapter, it's just a little reminder, we're all part of this show. You know, it's not just Paul and Peter. There's all these wonderful people we know nothing about yet. When you meet them in heaven, you'll say, God, help us. But every parish is full of people like this. Every community's got, and these are their names. It's nice to have them, isn't it? Just even that's all we've got. Because these are somebody's uncle and auntie and brother, and they've all come in and they're all doing, and they're not famous, but they're here. And what's fame, for God's sake? Greet, in case you thought you'd run out, Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. There are Jews there, Jewish names, there's Gentiles there, there's men where there's women there. This is a real ordinary community. And Paul obviously is acquainted with a number of them for reasons of travel. And if not, he's heard about them from probably the first two mentioned there, Aquila and Prisca. And he, I urge you, brothers and sisters, so this is the conclusion, keep an eye on those who cause dissensions and offences. Listen to the teaching that you have learnt. Here we are back to tradition. Avoid them. Such people do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the simple-minded. So it's dangerous stuff. For while your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, I want you to be wise in what is good and guileless in what is evil. And we're perhaps reminded of Jesus' words, be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. The God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. A bit of urgency in Paul. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, greets you. So do my relatives. Now he mentions some Jews that are working with him. Lucius and Jason and Sosipater. We know Timothy. We don't know anything about Lucius. We know there was a Jason who gave hospitality to Paul when he was in Thessalonica from Acts chapter 17. Maybe that's the Jason. Could be another one, but it's not unlikely. We know Sopater, and that's just a derivation from it, who was from Berea, who's mentioned in Acts 20. Is that the Sosipater he's talking about? Quite likely. But again, these are people he's sending greetings from now. And he concludes, and we conclude, here's the bloke who wrote the letter. He's got to get his bit in. I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you in the Lord. Now, Tertius is clearly a Roman name. He's the third son of some family. Secundus, Tertius, Quartus, these are Roman names. Just parents must have had hell of a good imagination. Called you first, second, third, and fourth. Anyhow, forgive them. This is number three in the family. Any blokes in number three, you could be Tertius. But he's writing the letter, and he obviously is a Roman name. He may be from Rome. So he's giving his greetings because he knows people back there. Gaius, who is host to me, Paul says, come on, get on with you. I'm dictating, you're not writing this letter. So he gives him one line and then gets on with it. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Where's he living? He's living in the house of, that's where he's writing the letter, in the house of Gaius. He's got a few spare rooms and a desk and an electric lamp and whatever else he's doing. And so that's where he's, now we know that Paul baptized a Gaius in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14. He was one of the first people, one of the few people that Paul actually baptized. Erastus, the city treasurer. Now, Erastus is mentioned in Acts 19, chapter 22, another convergence of Paul's writings with Acts. But also, in this century, they've discovered, when they dug through Corinth, they discovered a ground level mosaic kind of a thing outside one of the main buildings that was paid for, in Latin, by Erastus, the city treasurer. So we may have, this may be the same Erastus. He had a bit of dough and he embellished the city. Nothing wrong with having some money. And here again, our brother Quartus, he's number four, greets you. There's no Quintus in this. And he concludes now, his last words, to God who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Genitive, you won't forget the Greek genitive, will you? So it's the proclamation about Jesus Christ, but it's also the proclamation that Jesus is making through his Spirit, through Paul. So Jesus is the one proclaiming now through the community, but it's also about him. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Only with Jesus did we realize not only is there one God, but that God loves the world, everybody in it, and that the salvation offered by God through Jesus is meant for absolutely everyone. That's something that people didn't dare believe, just didn't know. So you won't find that in the Old Testament, except when you look back and find little glimmers, half-truths that you can kind of build up into a picture, which Paul's tried to do. But this is what Jesus showed, that actually all that matters is love, and that everyone's loved by God, no one's left out. So let's love one another as I have loved you. But it's now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles according to the command of the eternal God. And what's it for? To bring about obedience, the obedience of faith. Beautiful expression, obedience of faith. And he concludes, to the only God, the wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.